You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the Community Connection SmartCast Microlearning Podcast Series hosted by Med Learning Group. My name is Dr. Sylvia Hanna, and I will be the host of today's podcast. In this episode, we will be speaking with Dan, a patient with non-metastatic skin carcinoma, and Nancy, his spouse. Dan will share with us his journey to diagnosis and treatment. Nancy will be sharing her insights as a caregiver. Let's meet Dan and Nancy. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about how you were diagnosed?
Yes. Over the years, thanks to my fine Irish skin and swimming a lot when I was a kid, I've had many small non-aggressive type squamous cells, and they've been diagnosed and removed. And I have regular checkups, go about twice a year to a dermatologist. I found one time that I noticed on my ear that I had something that was concerning. So I called dermatologist, and that was in February of 2019, I guess. And I got an appointment with the dermatologist, and he biopsied it and sent me to a Mohs surgeon.
Oh, and what did the Mohs surgeon find?
I had to wait about a month to get to the Mohs surgeon, but when I did, she took a look at it, and it actually took two looks at it, and she determined that, yes, it was a very aggressive squamous cell, and she recommended I go see a oncologist, a radiation-type oncologist. So I did that, and while I was doing radiation, I noticed a lump on my throat, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and the oncologist sent me to an outpatient clinic, and they biopsied it and determined it was a squamous cell in the parotid gland. They sent me to radiation oncologist recommended that I go to a ENT oncological surgeon at GW, George Washington University Hospital. He removed the parotid gland and for good measure, 25 lymph nodes just to make sure I was okay. And I healed pretty well from that surgery, and I didn't have a lot of problem. But while I was there, I was asked by someone at GW if I would be willing to enter into a study for immunotherapy drug that was being tested as a preventative for to stop from metastasizing squamous cells. And I began those trials, and that was like in September of 2019.
And did you experience any side effects from these treatments? If so, do you remember how they treated your side effects?
Well, after three sessions, my skin started turning yellow, so it was determined I might have a problem. And then, and they sent me to the hospital, and I spent about a week in the hospital with drug-induced hepatitis. So I am still in that study, but obviously I am not receiving the medication any longer. And even though I did recover it, I still was having issues with liver issues, and there was a domino effect, and it was affecting my heart and other things. So when I really get over all those side effects until March of 2020, and I'm still in that study, as I said, and I don't regret being in the study because if it helps other people in the future, that's fine with me. And I continue to see my dermatologist on a regular basis, about every 3-4 months at GW. And he and his staff, they've been great. And I have, and I really enjoy going. I don't enjoy going there because he keeps cutting out more squamous cells. But other than that, I seem to be okay now.
Nancy, that must have been challenging to watch him go through that. What advice do you have for other patients with his diagnosis? Any advice for healthcare providers that are taking care of these patients?
Sylvia, thank you. It was, as you can imagine, and I'm sure a lot of people have gone through it. It can be very stressful to watch your spouse, a family member, someone for whom you become an advocate, go through 3 and 4 almost serial hospitalizations. And I think one of the biggest things to remember for a spouse, for an advocate, is just not to panic. Don't let yourself be overwhelmed by that which is happening to your partner. It is also incredibly helpful to be organized. I always would have a pen and paper to write down diagnoses and instructions and directions for getting the next appointments. Plus, I had that written material whenever we would visit other doctors so that I was able to let them know what their colleagues had been saying. We have also found it very useful to carry updated copies of Dan's medications. It also lists his physicians and a little summary of some of his hospitalizations and issues. We've given those lists to EMTs when they've had to come to our house, as well as being in the ER and just some regular doctor visits. As the advocate, I found we have to be the ones to answer doctors' questions and ask questions on the behalf of the patient. It's funny because I've watched the doctors hover around Dan in a hospital bed, and they're asking a lot of extensive questions to someone who's really not feeling very well lying in a bed. So the patient is seldom in a good frame of mind to answer those questions. And that's why it's great if their advocate can be with them and prepared. Also, I've found doctors are not necessarily fulsome in the information they give. I know they don't want to overwhelm people, and particularly people who are in a stressful situation. But it might be good to ask the patient and or the advocate how much information they want. Let the people in the conversation gauge how much they need or want to know and how much they can handle. Also, Dan was under the care of multiple doctors. He was hospitalized first for his surgery at GW, then here in Arlington at our local hospital. And the Arlington doctors really needed to communicate with the GW doctors and vice versa. So it was part of my role to say, here are their names, here are their numbers. Our doctors were incredibly supportive at GW and were very open to giving us their cell numbers. And there was texting going on among the caregivers. And that was incredibly helpful for Dan's recovery.
Dan and Nancy, can you share with us a little bit more about your experience being part of a clinical trial?
Well, yes, it was a surprise to me. I'd never done anything like that before. But I thought that it would be a very good idea to be a part of something like this, because even if it didn't help me, it may help people in the future. And I was happy to do it. Unfortunately, I was what you might call one of the side effects of the of whatever it was that I was, whatever the drug was that I was taking, where you see on TV where they say, oh, some of the side effects are yadda, 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 yadda. I think I was one of those. In fact, I know I was one of those. I don't regret that. I think it was worth it. And it would help point out some things that would possibly could present a problem to future patients. Nance, what do you think?
I agree that I think it was something that you very much wanted to do. And it is something to which we agreed, because the immunotherapy drug that was being tested to be more of a prophylactic application rather than a direct treatment of an existing squamous was an attractive sort of belt and suspenders treatment for you. The tumor had been successfully removed and of course, subsequent visits to the surgeon confirm it's not coming back, at least at this point, knock on wood. But the notion of having something that could prevent the cells maybe from metastasizing another part of your body was very attractive. I think what was frustrating for me, and I'm not sure frustrating is exactly the word, but after you had these side effects, we indeed ascertained and it was agreed that they were from the medication. And one of the doctors actually said after you were hospitalized with the hepatitis that they had seen in your blood test, because the infusions are always accompanied by a rapid blood test just to see where all of your markers are. And they had noticed that your liver enzymes were beginning to react. But the reaction was not yet at the level that would cause this from the study protocol to say, there's a problem, or we think there's a problem, or to alert us. And I think that's what sort of made me think, made me wonder about, you know, what we had signed or how, what I would say to people who are looking at this. You can't cover everything. Everybody is an individual and will react differently to these drugs. As Dan says, when we see the advertisements for things on TV, there's this huge laundry list of possible side effects, which may happen, you know, to one in 10,000 or one in 50,000. So that was something I was weighing in my mind is, gee, what would have happened if they had said your enzymes are beginning to react? Would we have said we'll continue, or would we have said no? I don't know the answer to that. And Dan, maybe you have a comment about that.
I think I'm not sure I'm remembering everything correctly. I'm not a young spring chicken anymore. But I think that they did mention that I was getting some slight reaction. I didn't think anything of it. But I'm not as astute on these things as Nancy is, and I don't think she got it. She was told, but I think I was told, but I can't remember it exactly. It was too long ago for me.
So there you are. Communication among everyone is always incredibly important.
Nancy and Dan, thank you so much. We learned a lot today about the patient perspective and that of the caregiver. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council of Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to our grant sponsor, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity.